You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 48. And Barbara is my guest on the show today with a wonderful dream, another breakthrough interpretation, I think, and an alchemy practice that Barbara's going to go and do to make a big difference to her life and bring on a change that she's been working towards for quite a while now. She's very close and she's going to burst through. Now, I've just finished recording the interpretation and alchemy with Barbara. And as soon as Barbara put the phone down, of course, I suddenly thought of two more things from the dream that I really had meant to say and that were really important. So as you listen to Barbara and I talking about a dream and doing the interpretation and doing the alchemy, hang on in there to the end. And instead of just hanging up and thinking, oh, I don't need to listen to the bit at the end, it's just Jane Theresa having it's rambling on, which I'm sure many people do. Just hang in there because I do have another couple of things that I want to add in that open up the dream interpretation even a little bit more. So here we go. Here's Barbara. Welcome to the show, Barbara. How are you today?
I'm very well. Good morning, Jane Theresa.
Good morning. How's the weather down south?
It's a bit cloudy, a bit cool, but we're not complaining.
It's nice to be out of the big heat, I think. And you've got a lovely dream for us today.
Yes, I dreamt this last night or this morning, I'm not sure. So I thought I may as well give you something fresh.
Beautiful, I love that.
Okay, so I move into these sheds. There's about five of them and they're on a slight slope all in a row. My mother's living in the top one and I spread all my things out, my stuff. And then I decide that I want to move to the bottom one further away where there's more privacy. So then I decide to give the kids a few coins to help me move. So I look for my wallet and in my wallet there's some $50 notes and some gold coins. So we make a deal that they'll help me move for the gold in exchange for some gold coins that it will take about an hour. So the kids are black and we're in Africa and there's a lot of them helping me move, and they're carrying paintings and art materials and lots of other stuff. There's some other people that come along and they're carrying a set of lockers, which I don't really need, but the manager, who's this man that I don't know, says that we need them for the students. So I say, let's put them outside along the fence. And then I'm showing them where to put the paints. It's on this shelf, which has got is divided into different compartments, and I want all the colours to be separate and in different compartments. So I explain to them, for example, that the yellow can go at the top in the smaller compartment because I don't have many shades of yellow. But I also explain that the yellow ochre can go in that department as well, and there's actually quite a lot of yellow ochre, jars of it. And some of the jars don't have a lid on them, so I explain that we need to find lids for any jars that don't have a lid so that the paint doesn't dry out. And then the fence outside opens and this woman who's got leprosy tries to approach us and everyone's really scared and distances themselves from her. And she's quite in the advanced stages of leprosy and the disease is all over her body and she's in bad shape and she's in a bit of a panic and sort of begging for help. And everyone moves away because they're scared because she's contagious. So she tries again to get closer and everyone again is moving away. And I think that we'll have to burn and bury her because there's nothing that can be done about the disease. And that's it.
Wow, how stunningly vibrant is that for a last night's dream? I love the way these wonderful dreams are always caught up the night before a podcast show.
Yeah, well, I have them most nights, but I thought I may as well give you something fresh.
Yes, that's lovely. There's lots to work with there. So I might just ask you a couple of quick questions first. There's a lot of art in the dream, a lot of painting. Is this a personal thing for you or is this a completely a dream symbol? Are you interested in painting yourself?
No, I do paint, yes.
Okay, you do paint. So, I'm trying not to jump in at the middle bit, but I'm going to have to jump in at the middle bit because it's where I'm being directed.
You always do.
Yes, I do, don't I? And the one of the standout bits for me is kind of almost like the most boring part of the dream, but it's crying out at me. And it's a part of the dream where there's two opposites. And quite often when you go in at a dream where there's two opposites, it can be quite revealing. And it was that fence line in the dream, the border. And at the fence line, it's where you tell the students to go and put the lockers, and somebody, you know, the manager says, oh, we don't need lockups. And, or you say, we don't need lockers. And the manager says, well, yes, you do. You need, so there's that feeling of locking something at the boundary there. And then later, where the dream actually becomes quite worrying, where the leprosy, the woman with leprosy appears, you mention that there's an opening in that fence or in that boundary. That's where the leprosy woman makes her appearance. So there's a locked and there's an opening, two opposites in there. And because this is a boundary, or it's almost like a fence line there, it's most likely that the issue of the dream is dealing with a boundary or a limitation that you have had and that is being opened up and explored somewhat in this dream. And of course, you know, whenever we explore a limitation in our life, which usually something we've built a fence around because we don't like what's on the other side, we don't want to go there. So, you know, it's quite conceivable, you know, it's quite everybody listening in is going to go, well, no wonder Barbara didn't want to go over there. I like, that's where the lepers are. Who in their right mind would want to go over there? So we've got to work out at some stage in the dream what the woman with leprosy represents and why up until now you've been hesitant to go there and wanted to build this, you know, this be on the safe side of the fence. But suddenly you're actually ready to open up to that and to deal with it in some sense. So we're going to come back to that later. So I'm glad that I've got that bit over because I just needed to say that.
Now I'm scared.
It's a really good dream. I love it, actually. So we're going to, there's a lot of movement in the dream at the beginning, Barbara, because, you know, you're saying, I want to move from, you know, the top, one of the top sheds to one of the bottom sheds. There's movement there. And then there's movement again with moving the pots of paint around to different shelves. And then, of course, there's movement in moving the lockers down to the boundary. And then there's movement in the leprosy woman coming in. So there's a lot of movement and choice about movement and when to move in the dream. So this is reflective of changes that you're making within yourself. And so therefore it's no surprise that these changes seem to be leading up to opening up a previous limitation and dealing with what's on the other side. So we've got that in the dream there. And then it's reflected again with some of the paints don't have lids on them. So it's almost like here something's opening up. You want to put lids on them. You want to close them down, like put a lid on something and get everything nicely organized and everything in its right place. But there's still the feeling of, but something's being opened up. You know, we've got to sort of look in here before we put the lid on. So obviously, the yellow, you know, you put all the different colors and all the different shelves and you put the yellows at the top because you don't have so many of those, but then you've got all this yellow ochre. So because you are a painter and you love painting, what do you normally use yellow ochre for? What does that mean to you?
It's probably one of the few yellows that I would use. I don't use a lot of yellows. So my dream was actually reflecting, waking life in a sense. But the yellow ochre I would use more frequently. I guess I sort of think of it as an earthy colour, kind of a neutral.
So it's a kind of an earthy neutral. And would you normally use it in its straight form or would you mix it with other colours to produce an effect?
No, I would use it in its straight form.
So you'd use...
I would use it against brighter colours because it's a more neutral colour, it brings out the brighter colours, if you know what I'm saying.
Right, okay. So you use it to bring out the vivid and the bright colour to make more of the other colour. Okay.
Yes.
And why do you tend to not use yellow in your painting?
It's a very powerful, it tends to overtake. And I suppose I prefer other colours. So I would use it. I mean, I love it, but I use it in very small amounts because too much of it just, I don't know, it just doesn't work for me.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, really interesting. And you got, let's go back to the beginning of the dream now, and there's five sheds at the beginning. And then later on in the dream, when you get the students and the children to help you move, you've got a $50 note and some gold coins. So you've got two references to five or 50 there.
Yes, and I often have the number five in my dreams.
Right. Have you had the number five?
And 50.
And 50. For many years or just recently?
Recently, like this year.
Just this year. So are you towards 50 yourself or you're younger than that?
I'm 42.
42. So that's so unless 50 is something you're kind of looking ahead at and dealing with already, that's not something we want to really go down. So the number five, because 50 in a dream, any number in a dream where there's zeros on the end, it's usually helpful just to knock the zeros off and look at the number. So you've got the number five twice in this dream, and as you say, you've had it a lot this year. So the number can often refer back that number of years. So it might be this year you might be dealing with what happened 5 years ago, or 5 months ago, or the next 5 years. It's probably not when you were five, because this is a new theme this year. So if we were going, just playing around with it at the moment, if we were going back 5 years, that would be to 2005.
So yes, that's I've thought about that, and 5 years ago is when I started working where I'm working, so it could be a work thing.
Okay, so we'll go with that for the moment. That's good. So we've got a possibly referring back this year to a work thing or what's happening at work, and at the moment in last night's dream, which always refers to the day or two before, in general, we're looking at movement and change. So we could be looking at movement and change around work at the moment, and then we've got the African theme. So is that a personal thing to you? Have you got any connection with Africa?
No, I haven't been to Africa.
Right, okay. So this is most likely, on the one hand, perhaps, you know, when we have dark-skinned unknown people in our dreams, it can represent our own unconscious, what we don't know about ourselves, what we're keeping in the dark. As opposed to what we do already know about ourselves. So it's kind of like, you know, there's movement afoot in the unconscious here for deep change. Especially around work. But by the same token, African people are very colourful in their dress.
Yes.
And very vibrant. And to use an ochre, of course, is also here in Australia, I think, a colour we associate with Indigenous peoples.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So they've got that earthed feeling and, you know, a deep sense of heritage and connection to the land. Both in Australia and perhaps in Africa too. And therefore, perhaps within you, you know, there may be something within you connected with work or where you want to move and change and open up boundaries at work, which is more connected with your unconscious feelings of connection to the earth in whatever way that means to you. And going through that. So I'm just going to jump ahead and shift again. We had your mum was in the first shed. Are there five people in your family?
No.
Okay, so these aren't the family members. Your mum's in the first shed, and in the dream you want to move as far away from her as possible.
And sorry, Mum.
Mum, if you're listening, this is all symbolic, okay? Because everyone in a dream reflects an aspect of yourself. So your mum in your dream may represent your own mothering tendencies, and including your own way of mothering yourself. And your mum may also represent certain approaches to life that you, as her daughter, have taken on in some, you know, to some extent. So in wanting to move as far away from her as possible in the dream, it's like it may be that you want to move away from, and if this is related to work, maybe move away from a sense of mothering and caring either for other people or for taking a perhaps overprotective and over-nurturing approach to yourself in some way, and kind of wanting to break free from that and be in a different way, in a kind of more... It's funny because you'd think more Indigenous, more earth, more unconscious would perhaps be more nurturing and more sort of feminine, but it's not in your dream. It's like, I want to break away from something about the way my mum would approach life, or something about, and maybe that's traditional female roles. Maybe you want to break away from that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. So as far away from that as possible and in a new sense. When you started this job 5 years ago, were you in another job before that, or were you at home looking after children?
No, I was in another job. I don't have any children.
Okay, so it's not directly related. So there's that feeling, yeah, of wanting to approach life in a different way to the way that my mother did, and kind of break free from that. I want to go back to the leprosy woman now, I think, at this stage. So any time that there's a body in a dream and there's something wrong with it, particularly if there's something missing on a body, we can usually directly relate that to something that we feel is missing in our lives. So she represents something, because leprosy is a disease of decay, by which the fingertips and the nose tips and things, all the extremities start to rot and become missing, don't they?
Yeah, in the dream she's got this stuff all over her skin, like a growth, like it was pretty gross.
A growth, did you say?
Like a skin, you know, like skin condition all over her body.
All right, okay. So you didn't actually see any bits missing, you saw it was more the growth?
Yeah, I didn't see bits missing, but it's kind of like we knew she had leprosy.
Yeah, okay. So the feeling then, it's rather of things missing. She had something wrong with her skin that really looked yucky and gross, and also the feeling that she was highly contagious and was going to die.
Yeah.
That's the leprosy. Like, that leprosy is one of, or believed to be, I guess, in the old sense, used to be one of the most contagious diseases, because we put lepers on islands because they were so contagious. Yeah, not so much these days. There are other contagious diseases. So it's a sense of, it's all over the skin and it's gross. So our skin is often, is the way that we appear to the world. When we are at our most sensitive, we break out in rashes, perhaps. So for our skin to be covered with yucky stuff, it's almost like where it's a way of being ultra sensitive to what's around us.
Yeah, and I do suffer from, like, if I'm stressed or anything like that, it will come out on my skin, like I'll get rashes and things like that.
Okay, so that's...
Not often, but when I am highly stressed or something's wrong.
It'll come out. So that's so the emotion of stress, when it's not addressed within you, actually manifests as a skin rash or whatever. And your dream is probably showing an advanced form of this, like ultra stress. You know, and I guess in a way, would you say sometimes stress is contagious? Do you find yourself working around people and you, when they get stressed, you get stressed?
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
Mm. So there's a feeling in the dream that the leprosy is about stress, about ultra sensitivity, and up until now, that's been kept on the other side of the fence. Like, I don't want to go there. I want to keep my space safe. I don't want to get stressed. I'm aware that stress is an issue, but there's some sense in the dream where you're ready to open that up. There's part of you wants to lock it up, like the manager wants to put the lockers down there and lock it up. I don't want any of that stress. I want to manage my life, and particularly my work, in a stress-free way, as stress-free as I can.
Yes, and that's true of my situation. In other words, I have a job that's not stressful at all, and that's the way, I guess that's what I've chosen.
Okay, so you've chosen that in order to be as stressless as you can.
Well, in order that I can do other things, like painting, for example.
Okay, that's wonderful.
In order that work doesn't take over my life.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so I've got the picture now that you've taken this job in order to free up your time to be the totally vibrant painter.
Yeah, well, that was the idea.
Yeah. And so,
whether it's actually worked or not, I'm not sure.
And that's the nub, isn't it? So it's possible that your dream has now gone, okay, right, well, I've done this and I've kind of put this boundary around me so that stress is on the other side, the leprosy is on the other side. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to get caught up in a stressful job. I'm not going to go into that kind of contagious environment and get all stressed out and sensitive. I've put this boundary around me and I'm really safe, and I've almost got to the stage now of organizing my paints and getting everything ready to go. But, somehow I haven't quite done the amount of painting that I thought I was going to do by setting up my life this way.
Yeah.
So there's been a movement in the last couple of days, because the dream is there to say, look, I am ready to move. I do want to paint. And maybe one of the things that's holding me up has been the way that my mother approaches the world, or traditional female roles or something like that. And I'm moving away from that and I'm ready for a change. And I'm even still looking at 5 years ago when I got this job, when I took on this job in order to not be stressed so that I could do lots of lovely painting. And that number five is coming up now because I'm really thinking, well, have I really done that? Has this worked for me? I'm reevaluating that. I want to change. I'm ready to make a move, but to do this, I've got to really, look at all this yellow ochre in my life. We'll come to that in a minute. And I've got to open up to looking at why the stress has been in my life before and putting an end to that, because that's the feeling of you've got to bury the woman with leprosy. I think at the end of the dream you said you were going to bury her, didn't you?
Yeah, burn and bury her.
Burn and bury her, okay. Barbara, would you say that while you've made your working life stress-free, that you may have transferred the amount of stress that you like to have in your life to the thought of doing your painting?
Sorry,
When you think about your painting now, yes. Because you haven't been getting the amount of painting done that you like, is that thought alone stressing you?
Well, I'm looking out. I am actually moving, like physically, my home space at the moment. I've got to find a place to live where I will have more space, if you like, to paint.
Yeah.
So up till now, I haven't had a lot of space, so I haven't done as much painting as I could have.
And when you imagine yourself painting, what kind of feeling do you get?
I just think that's what I'm meant to do.
Mm. And if there was a downside at all to painting, if there was one little nugget of doubt in your mind, what would it be? What would change in your life if you were out there doing the painting that you're meant to do?
I'd be poor.
That could be one thing. And anything else?
No. I've done that before. Like, I used to be a full-time painter.
Yeah. When was the last time you were a full-time painter? How many years ago?
About 10 years ago.
About 10 years ago.
What are we, 2000? And, mm. Yeah, 10 years ago I stopped it.
Mm.
I stopped painting full-time.
And the major stress was money.
Yeah.
Was there any other stress that you felt then when you were painting full-time?
I wasn't really finding support.
Mm. Yeah. These are the things I feel that the leprosy woman represents. It's like, to me, there's the feeling from the dream that you've made your workspace safe, as you say, and stress-free, which is a fantastic logical decision to do, and therefore you've kept yourself in money. But the object of it was in order to be able to paint, because that's what you're meant to do. But the longer you've been away from really doing a lot of good painting, the more you become stressed about unconsciously, remember the black Africans in the dream, the unconscious side, yeah, of yourself, unconsciously stressed about actually returning to painting. So your memory is that last time I was in full-time painting, I was poor, or I felt poor, and deeper than that, I didn't feel well supported. So there's some part of your unconscious beliefs that's going, so if I return to painting, even while I'm doing this stress-free job, if I return to painting, associated with that, I'm going to go back to feelings of being poor and feelings of being unsupported. And that's, yeah, what you're now ready to crack open in opening, getting past this boundary. And the woman, the totally stressed woman that's so stressed out that she's got leprosy, poor thing, is the stressed out you that you imagine you would be if you went back to full-time painting.
Oh, right.
Right. So even though you've got this vision of I'm in the job, I'm keeping the job, and I want to do painting, and when I've moved, I'll be able to do that, your unconscious mind is going, whether it's part-time, quarter-time, or full-time, painting equals being poor and feeling unsupported.
Oh.
And you've got, and we'll get over that since it's really good stuff. And you've got that, I think, in moving away from your mother in the dream, because a mother's role is to support and to nurture and to look after the children.
Yeah.
So this is about you thinking, I want to somehow, there's an issue of support there. What kind of support can I get? Am I going to be my own support here, my own nourisher, nurturer, and mother, or am I going to find that in some other area of my life?
Yeah.
Oh, well. Yeah. And the focus on the ochre, the yellow ochre, therefore, you know, you define that as a way to earth and ground, and therefore bring more attention and vibrancy to the real colours. And so we've got to find a way to do that in your life, to kind of work out a way to bring out more of the vibrancy of yourself, which is your painting. You know, Barbara is most vibrant and doing what she's meant to be doing when she's painting. Whether or not she's holding down a job at the same time, she should be painting. So how do we find that yellow ochre? Because that was a symbol in the dream to enable that colourful side of Barbara to shine even more.
Well, that's a nice way of putting it.
Pardon?
That's a nice way.
Yeah, and I think we're going to work with that. And part of that is metaphorically burning and burying the woman with leprosy.
Yeah.
Because we've got to put an end to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And particularly in painting, I mean, the point as a non-painter, I imagine the point in painting is to communicate and to express sometimes quite vulnerable things. Yes. And you can't do that if you're stressing out and you're in stress mode and you're trying to put something vulnerable and emotive out there.
Yeah.
Mm. So how are we going so far, do you think, with the dream?
Yeah, that was great. Yeah, I didn't make the connection with the leprosy woman and the painting, so that's really helpful.
Mm. I think when we were talking about the woman, I was originally going down the wrong track because I was picturing leprosy as people with, you know, noses and fingers and toes missing. And I was saying, well, when there's a body in the dream and there's something missing, it's then related to what's missing in your life. But I think we can still approach her from that way and put what is unhealthy about this figure in the dream. And it's that she's so stressed out. Like she's majorly stressed out. She's absolutely had it. And that's, you know, that's what we've got to focus on and fix. And all congratulations to you, Barbara, because your dream was last night. And that means that you have already done quite a lot of work, probably in picturing yourself going through the physical move that you're going and looking for, a house to move into that allows you to do your open up to your painting space. And so you're actually already at a deeper level pushing through these boundaries and going, yeah, I'm going to get through this. I'm going to put stress aside. I am actually going to paint, and your unconscious mind is busy decluttering and sorting all that out and going through the issues, and it's presented you with, hey, so if you're really going to do this, Barbara, we've got to put this leprosy thing, you know, we've got to let this rest in peace now. We've got to put an end to that. That's your task.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. Before we move on to put some dream alchemy to that, have you got any other questions about that dream or any other bits you're not quite sure about?
No, not really.
Okay. So, as always, you know, that number one is interpreting the dream and understanding how it relates to your life. And then number two is saying, if there's something that you would like to change in your life and it's related to that dream, we then move on and do the dream alchemy practice, because the dream alchemy practice is what helps change your unconscious beliefs that are working against you. And at the moment, yeah, from your dream and from what you're saying, the unconscious beliefs that are working against you are, oh, if I start painting again, I'm going to be poor and I'm going to be unsupported. And the more, though that makes, you know, nonsense to your logical conscious mind, it's your dream has said it's there, it's sitting there. And so we have to change that. Otherwise that's what you'll manifest.
Great.
Okay. So, I'm going to imagine that you're a visual person, but, you know, the options for alchemy, well, yeah, the options for alchemy on the other hand are visualization, affirmation, but they're also artwork. So if you want you to have an artwork dream alchemy practice, I could set you that, or I could set you a visualization. Which kind of area, which kind of mode do you think you'd like to do?
Probably a visualization.
Okay, that's good. That's quicker than doing a painting. Okay. In a dream, you never want to, when you do an alchemy, you never want to kind of kill something off, because it leaves a hole in the psyche. You always want to transform what is a negative belief into a positive belief. So you want to transform a symbol in a dream that's not working for you into a symbol that is working for you. And I'm thinking at the moment about the woman with leprosy, because we don't want to go through the visualization of burning her. I think that's a bit yucky, but, and we probably don't want to go through the visualization of burying her. I don't really like that at all, but I do like the idea of transforming her. So I'd like to think of, the visualization as, you back in the dream and walking to that fence line where she walks in, because that's where you're opening up your boundary. But instead of her walking in, you realize you've actually come along to this dream place a couple of days after the dream, and she's already been buried. So it's all kind of prettied up now, okay? So you come to the boundary, you walk through it because it's open, and you see her burial spot. And it's absolutely beautiful because you've actually decorated it beautifully And, you know, you go with your artistic license here, but, you know, perhaps you've decorated it with things that are growing, flowers, a tree that has already grown. Whatever you do in your visualization of the new and wonderful growing thing that is coming from this burial, you know, the birth from the death, what's growing from having put this away, make sure that you color it with a mix of the kind of vibrant colors that you would normally use, and then you would offset with the yellow ochre. So you've got the picture of the vibrant colors and the yellow ochre to your perfection, so that you've decorated her grave, her place of resting, with the kind of colors that represent the kind of painting that you do, but that also kind of represent your Barbara's vibrancy, what Barbara is meant to be doing, the colors that represent that, the perfect balance where the yellow ochre works to really contrast and bring out your qualities, your painting, yourself. And as you visualize that beautiful transformation there, you know, gone is the stress, gone is the woman with leprosy, in her place is something vibrant and beautiful and growing. As you're standing there looking at that, you have the sensation that that old fence line behind you has disappeared because that limitation is gone. And you feel, and then you bring up within yourself all the emotions and all the feelings that you want to feel when you are painting. So the two primary ones there are feeling rich in every way, and more importantly, feeling supported. So if you can, you know, before you really get into this visualization, think back to 10 or 12 years ago when you didn't feel supported, and work at feeling the opposite to that feeling.
Yeah.
So when you're doing your visualization, you have transformed, you've put the stress away, in its place is the most beautiful, vibrant new growth, which is you. And it's associated with feeling totally supported from everybody else, from life in general, and from within you. And from the Africans, from the deepest unconscious of you, are all supporting in their yellow ochre. They're helping to bring out the true vibrancy of Barbara. How does that visualization hit home?
Oh, it's beautiful. I love it.
Okay. So if you do that 30 times a day.
How many?
30.
Yeah.
I talked you through that just now, and I don't know how long it took, but I went over it and really went over it. But if you were to imagine doing it now, I'd say that you could get that down to about 20 seconds when you practice it, you know, and then you can do a run of 3 or 4 at a time. And it does seem a lot, but this is what you're doing here is reprogramming your unconscious mind using its own language, the language that it spoke to you in the dream. Mm-hmm. And it's only for 2 weeks, and it really is worth it. And if you set yourself up with something that'll work for you, what a lot of people that do dream alchemy with me do is have, say, two cups or two, you know, silk purses or something like that, or two envelopes, and put 30 beads in one. And every time you do the visualization, move the bead from one container to the other. So you don't actually have to go through the stress of counting. You know, by the end of the day, if you've got any beads left, well, I've got another 5 visualizations to do here. After 2 weeks, most of the work is done in the reprogramming. But after that, just do twice a day for a few weeks, or for whenever it just feels good to do so. And any time when you just get any element of feeling a bit stressed or feeling a bit, I want to do my painting, but I don't, just bring up that visualization.
Okay.
And you'll find that what that does is actually just completely turn around those vestigial, leftover, old unconscious beliefs and get rid of them, so that you're actually free to go and paint without feeling any of that stuff. Whether or not you keep the job, it almost doesn't matter whether you keep the job you're in now or you don't. That's your decision. But what you'll find is nothing will stop the painting once you've done this alchemy.
Great.
All good?
Thank you very much.
Well, thanks very much, Barbara, for sharing your dream. And there's probably a few other people listening in that have not only now learned a lot, you know, from your dream about interpretation and alchemy, but there's probably a few painters there that have gone, oh, okay, all right, I'm going to go and do some painting now.
I hope so.
That would be really good. Keep us in touch. Either keep me in touch privately or you know, get in contact within a few weeks and let us know how the alchemy's going, and I can let everybody listening know if you like.
Okay,
yeah, thank you. That'll be great. Thanks for your contribution today. It was lovely.
Thanks, Jane Teresa. That was great.
A pleasure. And there we go. That's Barbara about to move forward in the next few weeks and really start embracing her painting and doing what she feels she's meant to do. You know, and isn't that true for so many of us that we all have a feeling at some stage in our life that, well, I guess we always have a feeling that there's something we're meant to do. And then at some stage in our life, we discover what that is. And then sometimes there's a big gap between actually doing that thing that we think we're meant to do and, you know, thinking about it and actually doing it. And of course, once you're doing it, you're in the flow and, you know, life is wonderful. It's often about a sense for meaning, isn't it? You know, search for meaning and what you're meant to do. And Barbara's well on the way to fully blossoming and doing that. Now, I mentioned in the introduction that as soon as I'd got off the phone to Barbara and we'd finished recording, another couple of things struck me from a dream that I didn't mention during the interpretation. So I'd just like to run past those quickly now. The first one is the leper, the leprosy. And of course, you know, a leper is, I think the old word used to be untouchable. You know, you can't touch a leper. In the old days, that's why they were banished to islands. You don't get less supported than being a leper. You know, as a leper, you are totally unsupported. You are put on an island, or you were in the old days with other lepers and left basically to rot and die. You know, you can't get less supported than that. It's a perfect dream symbol for feeling unsupported. And then on another level, you know, at the end of the day, unfortunately, leopards do lose bits of their bodies, drop off, you know, legs, fingers. And again, you're unsupported there. You know, a lot of, if you think about it, the kind of archetypal image of a leper is often on crutches, unable to support themselves as well. So it really was a very dramatic dream symbol that Barbara had there for feeling unsupported. And she had that on the other side of a boundary in a dream. It's like, I don't want to go there anymore. I don't want to be in that situation I felt that I was in 10 or 12 years ago when I was full-time painting and I felt totally unsupported. I felt like no one would touch me. I felt like the leper, you know, hey, dreams go for drama. I'm sure it was nowhere near like that. But in Barbara's mind, her dreaming mind has picked the perfect symbol for feeling totally unsupported and isolated. So that was one. And the other thing that struck me straight away at a much smaller level was the sheds. And I'm pretty sure Barbara called them sheds right at the start of the dream, five sheds. And of course, you know, shed is also a verb. To shed something is to not so much get rid of it, but to let it go. You know, as I'm actually talking now, I can see a butterfly just through the window, and it's sitting on a wall and it's opening and closing its wings. It's really, really beautiful. It's a black one with white spots. It hasn't got any yellow ochre on that I can see. And it's reminded me, I mean, that's what shedding is, isn't it? It's like a caterpillar shedding its skin, you know, its yucky, grossy skin. And emerging from that as a beautiful, beautiful butterfly, maybe a little bit like at the end of in Barbara's Alchemy there, where we've looking at what emerges from the caterpillar into the butterfly. And it's still sitting there opening and closing its wings. It's absolutely beautiful. So what was I saying? A shedding, yeah. So Barbara's dream is something also about shedding, not getting rid of, but just like loosening. We shed a skin. Like the leper, the skin that you shed, you know, to move forward and emerge. So she's got that theme in her dream, five things to shed, five sheds, 5 years of the work, not necessarily to shed the job that she's in, that's her decision, but to shed some of her thoughts and feelings over the 5 years that have maybe, where she's maybe kept herself trapped by locking herself so much out of feeling stressed that she's really locked herself out of painting at all. And would you believe, you have to believe me at that point, that butterfly has just flown away. These kind of things happen in my life all the time. I am so blessed by things happening in front of my eyes that are symbolic and help me to interpret and do alchemy and stuff. So on that note, I hope you enjoyed the show. And if you'd like more information, please go to my website at www.dream.net.au. where just last week we actually made some major design changes to that website. So if you haven't been there for a while, you might like to go and have a look. Lots of free information and also details on how to consult me privately if you prefer that. And also my blog at janetereza.com. And also, if you'd love to be a guest on the show, I'd love to have you on the show. It's very easy. You just email me, express your interest, and I'll go into a little bit more detail. But it's as easy as sitting at home or at work at the appropriate time and just picking up the phone when I call and just going through what you just heard with Barbara there. So have a lovely week. Enjoy your in alchemy. Enjoy watching out for lovely butterflies, and I'll see you next week for episode 49 next Friday. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to thedreamshow@lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/dreamsight. The Dream Show is a production of Dreamsight Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.